Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyways, the talk show where we are making the world a polite place to live. We discuss a variety of topics and always enjoy interacting with our listeners. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now here's your host, John Maxwell, certified speaker, 25 plus years, master trainer and coach, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Today is Sunday, September 19th, 2021, and we are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. Today's topic is parenting power. So stay tuned. Well, of course, etiquette is simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket, and it later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Now, Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. These rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. Kudos to Charles I and II. And in case this is your first time joining us, I always like to answer that question, what is etiquette anyway? So if you don't really remember the entire backstory, just remember etiquette is a fancy word for manners, okay? Real simple. Well, again, thank you for taking some time out of your Sunday to join us this evening. I am so excited about our panel. I'm excited about our topic as well. I mentioned parenting power. And, you know, parenting is one of the most challenging jobs, or I would dare to say, if not the most challenging and gratifying job there is. And to qualify as a parent, you know what? You do not need experience, any particular qualifications, or any specific degree in parenting. And I know oftentimes when I present parenting workshops, I like to say that parents aren't perfect, okay? And that's okay. And, of course, we know children aren't either. So after all, you know, is anyone perfect? I don't think so. So let me tell you a little bit how this episode came into fruition here. Last week, which was our part three back to school episode, a parent asked if we could share some parenting advice. And we were hearing quite a bit of great advice from my co-host who's coming up here, Professor Markel Chapman. And so we plan to certainly share ideas and suggestions and advice to help make the role of parenting a little easier and more pleasant. And I am just so grateful for being able to have assembled a wonderful panel of speakers. And this panel comes with a combination of over 70 years of experience. And so that will tell you something there. And, of course, I want to bring first on my co-host. Of course, she is certainly no stranger, Professor Markel Chapman. She holds a master's in literature from the University of Houston. She's an academic coach, mediator with emphasis on education. She's also a professor of English. Markel is a wife and a mom to two fabulous children, and her hobbies also include vegetarian cooking and genealogy. And as I mentioned before, you've heard her on the show several times. Professor Markel, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am doing well. I am just ecstatic that you are back. Of course, we had a great time last week with our part three, Back to School show, and it just kind of rolled over into this one when we had someone that wanted more information and certainly more of what you were sharing. So I just think that is absolutely
wonderful.
Oh, we
certainly had a great time.
Yes,
that was
and
a
guys,
wonderful time. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And, guys, you can always tell when I get really excited, which is pretty much every week. I just jump right in. But let me give you our contact information. Certainly feel free to send your comments or your questions to MissDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. Or if you want to certainly join us live, you may do so, 516-418-5894. Again, 516-418-5894. I want to just sort of introduce you to our other two panelists. Of course, Randy was on my Back to School show. It was the first episode, I believe, the part one, I believe it was. But anyway, Randy Page returns to our show as a panelist. She's a Hawaii-based science teacher for grade 8 students at Malani Middle School. She's been with the Hawaii Department of Education for 7 years and as in the third year of her professional career. Randy believes in providing students with a positive and safe classroom environment that will encourage learning through collaboration, problem solving, and student empowerment. School is not in session. Randy enjoys hanging out with her friends and family, cuddling with her dog, Zorro, as well as traveling. So I want to welcome back Randy. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm so glad that you are able to come back and join us as well.
Yeah, thank you for having
beautiful,
me.
You're so welcome to the beautiful state of Hawaii there. It's wonderful. And I want to, let me introduce you to our third panelist. Her name is Vonda Harris. Vonda is a loving wife and mother of three. She has served many years in the field of education, from owning an international math software tutoring firm to serving as a private SAT and English tutor, as well as a private, public, and homeschool teacher. She has assisted many students in closing achievement gaps as well as realizing achievement gains. Vonda has been a mentor and leader to many and shares her gifts and talents as a family coach, assisting parents and families realize their greatest potential. In addition, she is licensed in multiple states in the insurance industry, helping to restore families that have suffered natural disasters. In her spare time, she loves spending time with her family, reading inspirational books, walking the parks for exercising, and admiring nature. So everyone, I would like to present to you Ms. Vonda Harris. Vonda, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I am excited as well that you are here to join us and look very forward to us having a wonderful conversation. And listeners, listen, I tell you, you just heard a little bit about everyone's background, so that will give you certainly some insight into, you know, the variety of different ways that our conversation can move this evening. So I'm really excited. I want to begin, because I want everyone to be able to certainly participate. I know Professor Markell there, last week I received, let's see if I can pull it up. I know you were talking about the public school to prison pipeline, right?
Yes.
Which was,
yes, that was
extremely
interesting. Pretty interesting. Yeah, very interesting topic last week. And I know we had some calls from all around, from New York. I remember, I believe her name was Marge, who called in from New York, just showing us some of her experiences. She, I think she shared that she was also a teacher in the New York public school system, and she noticed this public school to prison students. So it was quite interesting to hear her input.
Absolutely, and that was pretty deep, guys. And if you're thinking that you missed the show, you missed it, but it's okay because all of our shows archive. You'll be able to go back and listen to that show, and I'm going to really suggest that you do that. One message says, Ms. Donna, thank you for what you do week after week for the community around the world. Last week I learned from Markel Chapman that children are at a greater risk for developing a criminal record than adults. Most people don't know this. Thanks to you both. And this comes from Censor McClan. Looks like McClan. I hope I pronounced your name right. Censor in the D.C. area there. And so, yes, I'm sure a lot of people were a little surprised by that information that we were able to gain last week. So what I would like to do is just sort of start out our panel discussion by maybe sharing a couple of questions that parents have the tendency to ask. And maybe some advice, specific advice that you think parents need to know in order to assist with making good decisions or helping, you know, their children to be successful. I think I want to start with Randy. Randy, I know that you're eighth grade teacher, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
If you would. Is there any particular that kind of comes to your mind right now, any particular questions that are pretty common questions that parents have a tendency to ask you or they're looking for that particular information?
Right now, just given the state of, you know, our pandemic and just our current situation, one of the most common questions that we get asked is, like, what supplies do we need at home in order for, you know, the student to be successful? School is in a little bit more of a affluent community. So pretty much at the drop of the dime, parents will go out and buy their kids, you know, any technology that they need, the computers, the printers, any school supplies. So that is something that really gets brought up a lot is just what do we need in our house to make, you know, school as normal as possible.
Sure, sure. And if you would, Randy, for those who may not have heard our conversation when we started with our Back to School series, kind of talk about a little bit what your school, because your school district does something quite different than what the rest of the school districts around the country. So talk about that because it sounds like, you know, you guys are certainly being very successful of, you know, how basically the way that you guys have attacked this pandemic and the strategies that you've used. So can you just kind of explain that a little bit? Because I'm sure some people would certainly love to hear that.
Yes. So my school is a multi-track school, which means essentially there's too many students and not enough seats for them to be on campus, which works out nicely. So how this goes is there are three tracks on at a time and one track's on break. So it alleviates the amount of kids that are on campus at any given time. So when the pandemic came around, we were able to really navigate that nicely. And the transition wasn't so bad just because our students were already used to, you know, being off campus for an extended period of time. And then we were able to navigate and, you know, we can social distance nicely in our classrooms and things like that. So, yeah, so it's actually funny. Right now I'm on fall break, and it sounds kind of weird because I know a lot of schools just went back, but I was actually back in the classroom from July 8th. So, yeah, that's how our school works.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, so that multi-track sounds like it's a great idea, and it's working out very well, so that's great. So I want to go to Vonda. Vonda, I know that one of your specific topics has to do with parenting self-care, and I think we want to talk about that because I know a lot of parents right now are kind of stressed out and have been over the last, year and a half, and even prior to the pandemic, of just, you know, wanting to be able to help their children the best that they can. So can you talk about a little bit of self-care for parents, Jess, that they do?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the questions that I always ask parents, even before we move on to self-care, is what would family success look like for you? What is your family vision? Because many times if we can start with the end in mind, we will know how to pace ourselves and even take care of ourselves and yet still accomplish our mission and our goal. And I once heard someone say to aim at nothing is to hit everything, and then to aim at everything is to hit nothing. And so that caused me to wonder, well, what am I focusing on for my family? What am I aiming at in my parenting? And with being able to answer those questions, it allowed me to sort of backtrack and say, what can I do to alleviate a lot of the stress? And in the process, I can actually take care of myself at the same time, in that my level of stress will dramatically decrease. So in that, I've learned to be intentional in my parenting. That allows some of the pressure to be taken away. And that will allow some of the time to be allotted to even being put toward myself and say, okay, you can go ahead and not feel guilty because you've allowed yourself to be structured to a certain degree. You can carve out a little bit of time for yourself. You can take that bath, drink that hot tea, drive at night, listen to your favorite tunes or whatever the case may be. Because I believe all of these things will create balance in our lives. And, of course, I can go on and on and on. But I just wanted to share right up front, being intentional and having focus in this amazing parenting world creates a lot of self-care.
Very good. Wonderful. Wonderful. Because it's kind of difficult for us if we are stressed out as parents. Stress is a spirit. And I know Professor Markell and I have spoken about this quite a bit. Stress is a spirit and spirits transfer. And so if we have parents, you know, a bunch of parents that are real stressed out, that's going to transfer over into their children. And so then you have, you know, you have a bunch of stressed out children as well. And so I get that. I understand that. And that's great that if we can take care of ourselves, and we should take care of ourselves first, which will allow us to be able to take care of our children, correct?
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Professor Markell, jump in on this conversation, would you?
Yes. I'm taking notes.
I know, right?
Yeah, so I hope the listeners are also taking notes because I feel as though I'm in class. You know, you mentioned earlier, Donna, that people have to earn a degree, take classes, get a certification, you know, have a skill set for so many jobs, but the most important job is parenting. And, you know, anybody can become a parent without any of the aforementioned qualities. And so, yeah, you know, it really seems unfair. That's what I'm sitting here thinking about that. Like, wow, why don't we spend more time preparing ourselves, preparing people to be a parent well before they are parents, well before mm-hmm. they find themselves in that situation? Why don't we spend more time doing that? And one thing that I also can add is that I've learned a lot of parenting skills from people who are not parents. As an educator, I've taught for so many years, and I've learned from students. They have a lot to say. They have a lot to add. They have, our kids scrutinize our parenting all the time. They might mm-hmm. may not say it to our faces, but,
right.
you know, if you're an educator, you hear a lot. You hear a lot from the kids and from students. So I've learned a lot from them, and I think when it comes to parenting, we can learn what to do and we can learn what not to do. But at all times, absolutely. We are learning something about parenting.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. And it's funny, and I know, you know, that's why I started by saying, you know, parents aren't perfect, children aren't perfect, and, you know, we're all kind of learning. And we can certainly, like you said, we learn a lot from one another. Let me read this. This says, Ms. Donna, thank you for covering this topic, especially for new parents like my husband and I. We have a first-time kindergartner this year, and the transition seemed to go well for her so far. We are trying to get a genuine feel for the teacher, but she seems to be a little put off by the amount of questions we ask. Do you or your panelists feel that teachers are offended when parents ask too many questions? This comes from, and this is, thank you, Robin and Sam from Alpharetta, Georgia. So who would like to address that first?
I can.
All righty, Andy.
I don't feel offended at all when parents ask a lot of questions. I actually think that's a good thing because it shows that, you know, they really care about the success of their child. And at that point, when all those questions and those conversations are happening, it's almost like a team is being formed between the family and the teacher. So I'm not sure if maybe that kindergarten teacher might be a new teacher and it was just a little overwhelming. But no, I think it's a good thing, and I don't think as a parent you should feel worried about asking questions. I think it'll benefit in the long term.
That's great. And I know that sometimes, and we talked a little bit about this last week about parents not feeling totally comfortable with addressing the administration or addressing their teachers, or just not feeling totally comfortable. And that's one thing, too, that I want to be sure that we can communicate to parents ways that they certainly can feel comfortable, because that connection with the school is so important. And it's, students tend to do better when they know that the parents are involved with the teacher and you have the connection. And I know, Markel, you say a lot about the community as well. So, you know, it just really does take a village. Does anyone else want to say anything about that? About, you know, I guess what she's wanting to do is before she says something, she wants to really, you know, feel comfortable and make sure she's not offending the teacher, I guess, before she says anything else, or if she feels that she may have asked maybe one or two too many. But personally, I don't think you can ask too many questions. Asking questions, that's the only way that you're going to actually discover answers. And
yeah.
So I think that is just, you know, really important to continue to ask. And I don't think there's a problem, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think there's a problem with asking that teacher, are you put off or are you bothered by me, you know, or us asking so many questions? Does that bother you, or is that okay that we can continue to ask questions? Because I think most teachers will say, if you have questions, let me know. Of course, some may not.
Yeah, I think that it would be, I definitely agree. Finding, you kind of have to find a sweet spot between the parents and the teacher and the child. Because you don't want to create a toxic learning environment for your child. But I do say kudos to those parents who are asking questions and they are involved. Kudos to them. But just ask the teacher, is this, how would you like for me to pose questions? What's comfortable for you? And maybe between both sides, they can come up with a way, the best way to ask questions and have those questions answered.
And I do agree as well that parental engagement is very important. One thing that I would like to add is that sometimes timing is everything. And if, for instance, you are dropping the kid off at the door of the classroom and then may have, you know, 3, 4, or 5 questions, the timing may not be perfect at that moment. What I have found to be effective many times in the past is if I were to schedule a separate time where the parent could come back and speak with me and ask as many questions as he or she would like, or perhaps to send an email and then I can take my time and answer questions. That way the parent would not feel rushed and they will feel valued.
Great. Great answer. And, of course, we all want to feel valued. I mean, none of us want to feel as though, you know, we're asking a question that's silly or, you know, why are we asking this or, you know. So, yeah, I think that's great as well. Very good. So so hopefully they will certainly feel better and not feel that they're putting off that teacher or actually – I guess lining up a situation where they're not going to feel comfortable in the future. And so if they have additional questions, they won't have any reservation with, you know, continuing to ask. So that's great. Guys, if you are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are having a fabulous conversation. We're talking about, we call it parenting power. And so what we want you to do, you can certainly join the conversation if you'd like by calling 516-418-5894, continue sending us messages, and we will certainly do all we can to address those. We want to make sure that parents feel powerful and feel comfortable while they are, you know, trying to do all they can in order to make sure that their students are successful. We're going to take a very quick break, and we will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
According to the American Diabetes Association, the strongest evidence for diabetes prevention comes from the Diabetes Prevention Program, or DPP, demonstrated that an intensive lifestyle intervention could reduce the incidence of type 2 diabetes by 58% over 3 years. The doctor told Evelyn, "I've got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is you have a tumor on your brain. The good news is the tumor is not cancerous." These words change Evelyn Cartwright's life forever. Will you choose to believe what God's word has to say about what you are facing, or will you choose to believe other sources? She and her amazing testimony was featured nationally on the 700 Club Christian Broadcasting Network. Follow her journey in her book titled, I Know What It Looks Like, But I Choose to Believe God, by Evelyn Cartwright. This is a small book with a huge message. Send your speaking and book order request to efb1762@gmail.com. That's efb1762@gmail.com. Welcome to ProMixGlobal.com. ProMix Global will help solve your audio recording and production needs, whether it's song recording, mixing and mastering, CDs, commercials, IVRs, audiobooks, or general voiceovers. ProMix Global is the choice for you. Your project will be delivered on time and on budget. For additional information or to schedule your studio time, go to www.promixglobal.com. Once again, www.promixglobal.com. Are you looking for a fabulous voice? You found it here on MissDonnaSpeaks.com. Miss Donna's voice is one of a kind to fit any voiceover need for sure. The mission is to provide the voice you need to help your message stand apart from the rest. Believable is the first word that comes to most clients' minds when describing Miss Donna's voice. Miss Donna is available for script writing, on-hold and phone messaging systems, interactive voice response, live announcing, MC, commercials, narrations, audiobooks, documentaries, talk show hosting, and e-learning. Whether you are a brand new business, existing corporation, or entrepreneur, MissDonnaSpeaks.com is the right voice and choice for you. Customers are so busy that many times they don't have a lot of time to visit your website, but they will take 30 to 90 seconds to click and hear your commercial. Reach customers quickly with your professionally written and produced commercial, and not only will they be impressed, but also excited to do business with you. Your project will be delivered on budget and on time. Contact Miss Donna for all of your voiceover needs. www.missdonnaspeaks.com, www.missdonnaspeaks.com. Make the best choice. Hire Miss Donna's voice. This commercial was produced by MissDonnaSpeaks.com, MissDonnaSpeaks.com.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. You may join the conversation by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to MissDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. Now back to the show.
Okay, we are back and we are talking about parenting. We are giving you some parenting tips that I hope that you are enjoying. And by the way, if you have any that you would like to share that are working for you, please, by all means, please reach out to us and share those, okay? I have a message I want to read. It says, Miss Donna, please ask your guests, why do teachers choose teachers' pets? I believe it makes other students uncomfortable. My daughter is in the seventh grade, and she says the teacher always calls on the same girl, whether she has her hand up or not, how it is not fair. I plan to approach the teacher about it, but I want to say the right thing. Can someone make a suggestion regarding a conversation starter? Thanks for your show. I really enjoy your topics and advice. And this comes from Sarai in Maryland. So, Sarai, thank you so much for sending that to us. So, who would like to tackle that one? Teacher's pets. We've all, you know, heard of teacher's pets. Who knows? We may have been some teacher's pets before. So what do you guys think?
Well, I guess I could.
I hear crickets.
I've never been
crickets.
A teacher. Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay. I'm sorry. But I don't think I've ever been a teacher's pet before, but I've seen it in action. And I kind of wonder, what is that kid doing that garners all of this attention? What am I not doing? You know, it can definitely leave a student frustrated. But my advice for the parent would be to go to the teacher and advocate for your child. I wouldn't use the language, you know, teacher's pet, or bring up the other student in the class. I wouldn't go that route at all. But I would just advocate for your daughter who would like to be called on more, who would like to be included more. And, just see how you can help that teacher realize that, hey, there's another student here who could be considered more. So, see how that would work. Maybe things would change, and it can open up the door for the teacher to reach out to more students in the class as well.
Wonderful. Anyone else have a thought on that? And then I'll share my thought. Or has anyone had teacher's pets before? Or I guess assigned teacher's pets. Anybody? Vonda?
I would not call it a teacher's pet, but many times in the classroom is, sometimes, I guess it's sort of taking that path of least resistance. But I could see where a teacher would call on one particular person a little bit more than others. I'm not saying that it's right. I don't agree with that at all. But sometimes you can feel like perhaps it's easier. Could you just run and use this hall pass and go this or that? That particular student is very easy to get along with. Can usually go with the flow, doesn't cause any ruffles in the classroom, and it's pretty much, you could get things accomplished pretty quickly. So sometimes you'll have that two or three students that you can call on a little bit more regularly and know that you can depend on them and get things done. As far as becoming a teacher's pet, that could be a whole other level for different reasons or varying reasons, but I do agree. I would definitely ask, how could my particular student or child be more inclusive, or how could she be called upon more? What could we do to, allow this student to participate greater? So I definitely agree with that. But yeah, it's a very difficult situation.
Wonderful. Randy, did you want to address that, or?
I think the two of them said it nicely. I would just really advocate for my own child. I wouldn't necessarily bring up anybody else. But if, the student's concern is that she wants to be included in class more than, as a parent, if you're going to talk to the teacher, then you should just keep the focus on that. And I think that way it avoids a lot of other conflict too.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And I'll just add my advice because I remember when I would teach my public speaking class, I had a little boy in it that he was just really hyper, and he just, it was hard for him to really, really pay attention. He always needed to be up speaking. And generally every time they're in the class that we meet, they're going to be up speaking. But when it was not his turn, he just wanted to be busy doing other things. So when I discovered that, what I would have him do is I would have him, it may have looked like he was a teacher's pet, but I was trying to keep him, from actually just kind of veering off in another direction when he was not on the stage or the platform, if you will. So he I had him, he would hand the other students a microphone, or he was kind of assisting me. He wasn't necessarily the teacher's pet, because I think a lot of times when we think of that terminology, teacher's pet, as somebody that the teacher just really loves more than anything and they want to let them do everything. But in this situation, I was trying to keep him really, you know, really focused. And so he, you know, I wouldn't call him a teacher's pet, but I certainly, knowing that child, and, you know, you think he's really not paying attention to what you're saying, but once he was on the platform, he was able to do and speak and do everything that we were preparing to do. But when it was not his turn, it was a whole different thing. He was trying to, you know, talk to other kids, and it was just so much going on. So I would venture to say that quite possibly they may not necessarily be a teacher's pet, but the teacher may be trying to help them to stay involved and to continue to pay attention. And also I think what Randy said, I would just kind of concentrate on my child and not necessarily, you know, say that this other child is getting all the attention, because it may not necessarily be stemming from positive attention, if you understand that. So I wanted to certainly address that. And guys, it's not too late for you to give us a call, 516-418-5894. I'm going to go to the phones and see if we can pick up some of the callers. I will say the last four digits in your number. You will know that I'm referring to you, okay? Extension 2834, extension 2834, hello, 2834, okay, they could just be listening, okay, extension 5612, hello. They could also be listening as well, which is perfectly fine, okay? So no problem. I want to, let me look, see here. Okay, Miss Donna, my family and I have listened to your show for the past 6 years and look forward to it on Sundays. Since we are traveling while your show airs, I thought I'd send a message. What's the best way to clear a student's record if you believe they received the wrong grade? My son is in middle school. Thank you. And this comes from Gentile in Atlanta. This comes from Gentile in Atlanta. So what is the best way for Gentile to approach this if she feels that her students have received, they just don't have the correct grades? What do you do about that as part of advocating for your child?
I can answer that. Mm-hmm. I've actually had a couple situations where I was in that situation. So what we do, or the procedures at my school, is we call together a parent-teacher conference.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that way the parents can bring in the evidence that they see in terms of, like, student work or even, like, study habits. And the teacher can also bring in whatever evidence they have, and they can discuss. As far as the grade change part comes, though, that you would have to meet with an administrator, at least for my school. I'm not sure how Atlanta schools are. But I think meeting with the administrator would be really the only way, you know, to get that grade change. Because once the grades go in, the teachers don't really get the chance to go back in and change it. What's there is there. And then, yeah, depending on your school, you could maybe ask even before the quarter or the semester ends, you know, what grade your child will be at. So that way you know before things get finalized. So for me as a teacher, on the last day of school, I give my students their one last progress report, and I let them know, like, hey, whatever you see here, this is it. If there was a discrepancy or if I forgot to put in a grade, you need to let me know right now. You need to show me that you have work, and then we can make those changes. But yeah, I think just overall meeting with teachers so that you can understand where their grade came from and they can understand where you're coming from, and you guys can compromise.
All right. Very good. Good answer. And I just want to say, just from an etiquette perspective, it's not necessarily, you know, when you approach the teachers or when you approach the administrators, it's not necessarily what you say, but it's how you say it. That's going to be very, very important. So if you're upset and you're stressed out, you might want to just kind of wait until you calm down a little bit and just simply, you know, just when you approach, make sure your approach is, you know, from humility, you know.
That's a very good point. You know, you're now going into a new vein that, well, I guess I would call it anger. Dealing with situations in anger. And in parenting, that's something that is very important because even when we're working one-on-one with our kids, even if we're considering the flow of the family, you know, what type of energy do we want in our family, anger management is a big key. That's a major issue that we really need to have control over as parents, and we have to even teach our kids how to deal with anger and how to bridle it and control it, so that when we want to talk to others, when we want to accomplish things, when we need to work well, you know, have a positive work environment, we don't let anger get in the way of all of those great things that we want to accomplish.
I certainly do agree with that. And, you know, we can't say, do as I say, not as I do. And if we go up to the school and we're explosive and, you know, disrespectful, especially in front of our children, how are they going to react? They're going to do the same thing because they're, you know, children do more of what they see than what you tell them to do. Just like, you have, say you have a parent smoking cigarettes and they tell their child, you should never smoke cigarettes. And they're like, oh, you're smoking? I mean, why? It's not good for you. And it can make you sick or whatever. And then, you know, and then you've got this child thinking, well, it can't make you sick. You know, I don't want you to be sick either. So, you know, here again, we have to really think about what we say. And I think I may have mentioned this on another show, and it really gets me. I don't want to go back into the topic of what's going on with the mask debate because, you know, all around the country, there are parents that are for their children wearing masks, and there are parents that are totally against it. And so what really bothers me when I see this on the news and I see, you know, these parenting groups in action, you know, one in opposition and one for it, and they're just screaming and going back and forth, and you've got all your children there. It's like, okay, what is this teaching our kids? You know, that it's okay to act out like that. So, you know, we really have to think about what we're doing, and we have to be really, really conscious about how we act and about how we react to situations. You know, this is so important. I had a real good friend of mine who taught for, I think she taught for 16 years before she she retired out, but she said that there were so many parents that she would never see, you know, during the entire school year until there was an issue with the child, and that particular child, you know, may have been acting out, and, you know, they had to reprimand them, I think, suspend them, and then the parent would come up there freaking out and just really going off on everybody, and they were like, who are you? Because they had never even seen this parent before. And so we have to really be mindful, not only that, you know, our communication skills and making sure that, again, it's, you know, how we're acting, you know, how are we acting in front of our kids? Because our kids see every single thing that we do. So, you know,
it reminds me of football games, like Little League football games,
yes,
and Little League soccer games. You see the parents have a fight.
Oh, my gosh.
With each other,
yes.
You know, sometimes these make the news, these episodes will make the news, and it is really sad because sometimes the camera will go with a close-up on a child's face, and the child is looking at his or her parent in total fear, and it's really sad to see that the the adult never learned how to handle anger, and they didn't, or they didn't learn how to handle anger in a positive way. And what they're teaching in a set, you know, very violent moment is that the child can have a tantrum and you know, just unleash anger on other people. And, you know, if we have an idea, or if we come to this agreement that none of us have a right to unleash our anger in a negative way towards anyone, I think we would be a much better society.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is it Vonda?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. I didn't know if you had a comment.
You
can go right ahead.
To her point, I wanted to share that the very, very good comment that she made as far as anger, and just one little thing I wanted to add is that we want to be sure to model the correct behavior in front of our children at all times. And we want to instill those core values that we embrace. We want to instill those values in our children, and we want to model the behavior before our children. And I believe if we are able to do that, and that's why these sort of shows are very important, because it can teach the parent the skills that they need and actually enlighten them, inform them, inspire them, elevate them in their thinking as to how to behave differently in front of their children, whether it's wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. Again, it goes with that end result in mind. What sort of child do we want to present to society? And then we want to model that behavior as to what we would like to present to society.
Wonderful. You know, Vonda, that goes back to what you said at the very beginning. We, as parents, have to begin with the end in mind. So just what you said, you just brought it full circle. That's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. And that's why these types of forums are so important, is because, you know, oftentimes, you know, we as parents, we don't know, and sometimes we really don't know what we don't know. And so that's why it's so good to be able to come and share because I'm sure that there's some listeners thinking, oh, wow, I hadn't really thought about that. You know, I just know my child was upset because she received a grade that she didn't think was fair, and she came home crying, and she was upset. So my first reaction, I'm going to go up to that school. I'm going to tell that teacher, you know, I'm going to tell her about herself, you know. So oftentimes we don't really realize that that's not the proper way of how we should handle the situation. So here is a question here. It says, Miss Donna, as far as parenting self-care, can she make some suggestions of self-care, or will you do a follow-up show? Thank you. And this is from Tony. And Tony, and actually, because we are certainly running short on time, so let me just ask Ms. Vonda if you might be available to come back and to do a follow-up and to kind of go over some tips about, you know, what are some ways that parents can really take care of themselves. And then I would also add, what are some ways that our children can take care of themselves too. Maybe we can do some family self-care that will, you know, come under the umbrella of family success.
Absolutely. I definitely have an entire segment on self-care. As I said, I could go on and on and on, so I'm just trying to keep it brief.
It's a great topic. Listeners, definitely be on the lookout for that. And I want to say, before we run out of time here, I want to thank each of you so much for contributing this evening. It has been a wonderful, wonderful discussion. I certainly want to applaud you all. And listeners, if I did not get to your question, I do apologize for that. We wanted to make sure that we, you know, were able to share as much information and as much advice as possible. And I'm sure we're going to continue receiving messages. Well, we certainly will. And here's just one that says, are you guys going to do a follow-up? So, and we always, of course, every week we ask if there's a topic that you would like to hear us suggest, feel free to let us know, and you guys are certainly doing that. And so, Professor Markell and Randy, so will you all be willing to participate in a follow-up?
Of course.
Sure.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we will certainly get those scheduled as well, okay? And again, ladies, thank you so much for sharing this information. And let's see. As we run out of time, I want to thank you guys again for supporting our show, for listening. Everyone who called in, and when you guys send us messages, we appreciate it. If you join us for the first time, then welcome to the What is Etiquette Anyways family. And I want to say I'm definitely also grateful for our listeners that listen to us each and every time we're on. And again, if you do have an etiquette topic or a question that you would like to hear us cover in the future, let us know. Be sure to tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen. After all, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. We know we can only do that one person at a time. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Need some water. Hold those virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That happens to be one of my favorite proverbs. It comes from Proverbs 3:3. And initiate a random act of kindness this week, okay? At least one, all right, if you would do that. Again, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will talk again next week. Good night, take care, and stay safe out there, and God bless.
There is a lot of uncertainty going on in our world today, but you can be certain that Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady and What Is Etiquette Anyway talk show, will be here to continue to encourage you. Stay safe and be encouraged. Thanks for listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we will discuss another exciting topic.